Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome to another edition of eHeroes. Today's eHero is Vance Morris, and today we're going to talk about Disney magic. And you know, Vance is a former Disney employee, but he's also written a brilliant book on how to turn your business using Disney magic. So welcome, Vance, and thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it, Rob. It's going to be fun.
You know, let's go back to where you were a Disney employee. I mean, why Disney? I mean, why work there versus anywhere else?
Well, quite honestly, a buddy of mine from college ended up being a recruiter for Disney. And he said, you know, we got a lot going on down here. Somebody of your, you know, what you can do in the food and beverage industry. You know, why don't you come on down? We've got a resort opening up. We need help opening it up. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you'd fit in well with the team. So I came down and I was on the opening team of the Yacht and Beach Club in 1990 or 91.
Wow. I mean, there's so many changes at Disney going on nowadays. And you know, we try to go down, you know, every year, but sometimes it's every other year. But I'm just amazed that this year I look at Disney going and they're pumping a lot of money into the parks. Especially Epcot, they got to rejuvenate that area, you know. But you wrote a book all about, you know, bringing the magic of Disney into your business. So is it based on your experiences working as an employee, or is it based on the outside looking in of what they're doing?
A little of both, really. I mean, you know, Disney's got a system for everything. I mean, you know, how to change a bus tire, how to wait on tables, how to answer the phone. I mean, there's an SOP, you know, it was probably about 10 pages long just on how to change a bus tire. And that's what allows Disney to really wow their guests, because everybody knows what needs to be done. And because that system is there, it gives them the freedom to be able to do those little extra things, because they're not worried about, okay, how do I do this? Where does this go? I mean, it's all, and a lot of those wows are built into those systems. And now that I'm not with the company anymore, looking at it from the outside in, knowing that those systems are in place, you can see exactly what they're doing to create, continue to create a great experience for their guests. Now, there's been some slippage, you know, over the years. There's a couple of, you know, little chip paint here, you know, a little cranky employee over there. But for the most part, I mean, when you got 85,000 employees on, you know, 50 square miles of property, you're going to have a hiccup or two. But I mean, so I mean, if any of your listeners, you know, are complaining about, you know, being able to communicate to their five employees in their office, try doing it with 85,000 and making sure that that message, you know, from 9 a.m. and by noontime, all 85,000 have gotten that message. So really, really all about systems. And I've carried that through to my other jobs that I've had and to the two businesses that I own. Everything is systematized. That's even a word, but systematized, so that you can, so that anybody can walk in and understand exactly what's going on and what's expected.
You know, from a Disney standpoint, do they have manuals that they give to the employees so that they know their job, or is it stuff that just taught to them and ingrained over time?
Well, back when I was there, this was pre-internet days. They had, we had binders, you know, the restaurant that I helped design and operate, Chef Mickey's, the breakfast server manual was a 4-inch thick binder of standards. You know, how do you pour the orange juice? Where do you pour it? How do you talk to the guests about the characters that are moving through the dining room? You know, what do you do to get them to have the best experience possible? Because, you know, we had 400 some odd seats and we only had 42 minutes to get Mickey Mouse through 400 some odd seats and make it feel like it was a great experience. So without any type of systems or standards, that experience would not happen.
Yeah. I was just reading a report on Chef Mickey's and you know, people were complaining because I guess their time allotment, or they were waiting their expected wait to see the characters was longer than anticipated. And that's, I guess that's something that may, that Disney is now trying to work on, where, you know, the churn rate to move these people in and out of the restaurant while still getting their time with the characters was I guess very poor.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, one of the things, I mean, all you need is one little hiccup. Mm-hmm. You know, you got one baby that barfs on Mickey's foot, or, you know, you've got, you know, somebody, even though they're not supposed to, they, you know, they stop a character right in the middle of his route. Oh, you know, we're going to have a picture with Bobby, got to have a picture with Susie, got to, you know, it doesn't take much to throw a wrench into the works, which again is why Chef Mickey's actually took over part of the steakhouse and the Outer Rim Lounge. And they're close to 500 seats now, so I can certainly understand why it takes so long to get Mickey through. But they added characters. So now you can see Donald. Now you can see, I think Daisy's there now. So, you know, they've added characters. So it may be a little bit of time before you see Mickey, but you should be seeing a character every 5 or 10 minutes, you know, yeah, while you're there eating.
I remember the first time we went down as a family was in 2000. And I think in 2000, there was only a couple hundred restaurants that you could choose from, which still seemed like a lot. But at last count, I think there's now up to 400 and some restaurants on the whole Disney property. And they said they need to add, you know, 50 to 100 more because of the capacity of people coming in.
Right.
They just need to give them more choices because the character breakfasts are just getting slammed.
Well, they also want to make sure that people don't leave property. So, you know, if they can offer, you know, right now, if we're at capacity, you know, the guests are going to go off property. They'll go to an Applebee's, they'll go to a Friday's. Heaven forbid they go to, you know, Universal, you know, for dinner or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, Disney's still talking about building the monorail from Orlando International Airport straight to the property. So people will complete. I mean, they do that with the Magic Express right now with the buses. You get on those things and I mean, you go past everything. You don't stop until you're at your Disney hotel. They're going to do the same thing with the monorail. They don't want people looking around, seeing what's, you know, oh, wait, there's stuff over there or over there. No, just, you know, yeah, get them straight there. That way they don't rent a car. They don't start to wander, and Disney doesn't lose any of that market share.
You know, but I was watching one of your videos, and you did a great job of talking about Walt's obsession with detail. And there, if anybody's ever been to Disney, you know, all their parks, I mean, they're so detailed out that you, when you get into these lands, you're immersed in that land.
Completely.
And I don't think there's any, I mean, Universal may do that with Harry Potter, but not to the extent that Disney has perfected the system.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at, I mean, Epcot Center, I mean, if you walk into the center of any of the countries around World Showcase, you could do a 360 and think that you're, you know, on a street in ancient China, or, you know, you're in the middle of a piazza in Italy. I mean, it's just, they want you to feel that complete immersion because that's part of the experience. But they also do it as well, you know, as a matter of detail. You know, think about the at the China Pavilion in Epcot Center. If you look at the top of the restaurant, there is a rooster, a guy riding a rooster. And this is Emperor Min of the 3rd AD, 3 AD or something like that. And he was a very, you know, mean, devilish emperor. And so he was hung because he was such a, you know, horrible emperor. And so in Chinese customs, they now take this image or this little rooster with Emperor Min sitting on it, and they put it at the end of a building to ward off evil spirits. Now, that is a level of detail. I mean, thousands and thousands of people walk past this little rooster every day. Nobody looks up to see that, but every little thing has a story behind it. There isn't any detail there that they don't, you got to remember, Disney is a storytelling company. Mm-hmm. But every one of those details is there. If you go to get your autograph with Ariel over in the Magic Kingdom, I mean, it's not just, you know, little velvet rope and a, you know, gold ball stanchion. I mean, it's little seashells, you know, carved into there. And you look down at the ground and it, you know, looks like a boardwalk that transitions into sand, that transitions into seashells. I mean, you know, it's like you just entered the movie. And that level of detail is carried out everywhere. I mean, in the resorts, you know, in the parks, there's, I mean, we used to have what was called a, and I always encourage my clients to do this, is what's called a good show, bad show walkthrough. And as a salaried person, as a leader and manager at Disney, one of my jobs was to do a good show, bad show walkthrough. And what you do is you do a physical plant tour of your operation. And you're looking for things like burnt out light bulbs, cigarette butts in the bushes, you know, things like that. You make your report, you get with the departments that need to do their corrections, and hopefully by the time you open up, all the little bad show items are now good show. I mean, I did that with a dentist that was one of my clients. I asked him, I said, when was the last time you actually walked in your front door? Because most of the times they walk in the back door, you know, with all of the staff, the employee entrance. He goes, God, I don't know. Maybe when I moved in the building, let's take a walk out front. So we walked around out front. Now he's in a little strip mall. So there's a, you know, liquor store at one end and, you know, drugstore down at the other end. But he was appalled at what he saw. I mean, there were cigarette butts, you know, from the people from going to the liquor store, you know, were throwing them down. The bushes weren't, you know, trimmed. The front door was, you know, dirty. It had rained. And so all the mud had splashed up onto the lower part of the glass door. And then he also realized when he walked in his front door that his front desk was built not facing the door. So when you walk in, you got the side of the receptionist's head. I'm like, dude, you got to fix this. And he was just amazed at what was going on out front. You just got to flip it around and take a different look at your business. Walk in through the front door and see what the heck's going on, because you'll be surprised.
Yeah. So was that the inspiration for your book? You know, how'd that come about?
Well, I knew that, you know, I mean, my mission is to eradicate the poor customer service and the decline of customer service. You know, I'd say in the world because it is everywhere, but yeah, I'm going to start in the U.S. and I think people need a customer service is not difficult. It's not, you know, there's no, people say there's a science to it and they CX this customer experience. And, you know, people got these studies with, you know, footnotes and everything. I'm like, skip all that stuff. Here's simple. People want to be treated like people. They don't want to do business with a business. They want to do business with people. Follow the golden rule, treat others as you wish to be treated. You know, if you do those two things, you're already 10 times above any one of your competitors. But people needed a simple blueprint to follow. And I thought that giving them, you know, a couple of tidbits from my Disney experience, combined it with, you know, with my business ownership experience. And then at the end, once they had their service plan in place, give them a couple of chapters on, okay, now I've got this great business, it's humming along, how do I market it? How do I get my business out there? So there's a couple of chapters on how to market your business once you've got a, you know, a solid customer service thing going on.
Cool. Now, you also do training down at Disney for the people that want that experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of fun. I do two or three trips a year. Where I will bring groups down to Orlando, and it's a full immersion into Disney. It's a mixture of in the parks experience with tours, backstage tours, on stage tours, looking at the little figures, the roosters on top of restaurants, and then also mixed with some classroom time, where at the end of the at the end of the 3 days, the attendees have a complete blueprint on how to Disney-fy their business. They can go back Monday morning and start implementing a complete strategy to really have knock your socks off customer service, customer experience. you know, we also do some pretty cool stuff with, I still have friends that work at Disney. They're now senior leaders. A buddy of mine, Dave, is a general manager for half of Epcot Center. We do a reception one of the nights, and I'll bring in three current Disney leaders to the reception. And there's no presentation. It's ask any question you ever wanted to about how Disney operates, except for financials. And these three will give you the unvarnished truth. They'll tell you how the rubber hits the road. I mean, that's one of the problems with, you know, Disney has the Disney Institute, you know, their external training arm where companies go to learn about Disney. That's very scripted. So you're only going to hear what Disney wants you to hear. And if you ask them a question, you might get the answer of, I'll get back to you. And then they don't. But with my guys, it's a very relaxed atmosphere. And like I said, unless you're asking financials, if you want to ask HR, hiring, firing, how they keep the place clean, you know, those kinds of things, it's an hour and a half of a very intimate time with those three people. That is the highest rated piece of the entire experience when we're down there for 3 days.
Wow. But it's not just all that. You go, you know, below the park.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we do the behind-the-scenes tour. We go down underground of the Magic Kingdom, you know, which is, you know, people are completely amazed at. You know, that's the other thing, you know, people always forget about is their back of the house or their offstage area. When you go offstage or behind the scenes or, you know, into the kitchens and the tunnels and things of Disney, it's immaculate. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't any dust bunnies flowing around. Everything is organized. Everything is, you know, completely the way it should be, even when it's on stage. So I talked with my clients. I said, you need to have an on stage, off stage mentality. So, I mean, when you are in front of, you know, your desk and you're greeting customers or clients at your reception desk, you got to have your on-stage thing going. You can't be grumbling about last night's keg party or how bad the boss is or anything like that. No, you're on stage. Now, when you get back to the employee break room or you lock the door and you're closed for the night, then you can let your smile down, relax your face a little bit, and then you can, you know, complain about the keg party. That's exactly what Disney does. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, you know, that's why people, they always say, you know, okay, well, how do these Disney people stay happy so much? Like, well, when they go through that door going backstage, trust me, they're drooping their shoulders, their face is relaxing, they don't have to smile anymore. And they, you know, they'll talk about whatever it is employees talk about. But once they are on stage, they're performing a show. And that's why they're called cast members and not employees.
You know,
the underground tour, I mean, is very cool. You see all of the computers that run all of the rides and the music and the water features. Very, very impressive.
What's one of your favorite rides?
Favorite ride, Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Love the Haunted Mansion.
I like the new Avatar ride. I just think that the creativity that they put into that,
yeah,
that whole set there in the Animal Kingdom is just amazing.
I was on the opening team for the Animal Kingdom. I was at the Rainforest Cafe. Mm-hmm. And opened up that at the Animal Kingdom. A lot of fun.
The reason I picked
the Haunted House is it's one of the rides that Disney actually personalizes for people. So, you know, those bands that you get, those magic bands, you know, which genius invention. I mean, oh my God, now you don't need a wallet. You just, right, you know, ding, you hit your wrist, you know, ding, you know, oh, got a teddy bear, ding, oops, you know, got a steak. They also use that to personalize your experience. So at the end of the ride, when you're leaving, the tombstones, when you're getting to the end of the ride, will actually have your name projected on the tombstones as you're leaving the ride. And they're getting all that information from that little band on your wrist. So, you know, Disney's doing everything they can to personalize the experience and using technology to do it.
I thought the whole fast pass thing is just incredible. And I think that if every business created a system that they could fast pass some of their customers, you know, they don't have to pay more. They just need to know that you're going to be there to guide them through the process And I just think that it's incredible. And you know, you can go into the park now with your phone and schedule when you're going to be on that ride. Right. And I just think that's the coolest thing, because you don't have to wait an hour or two in line. You come back during a certain set time. Now you're on the ride.
Right. You know, it's funny, and you made me think about something that, you know, we talk a lot about Disney and, you know, okay, well, they've got billions of dollars to implement all this stuff. You know, one of my taglines is, if a carpet cleaner can do it, anybody can do it. As you know, Rob, I still own my carpet and oriental rug cleaning business. And all of this stuff that we're talking about, I've actually implemented in a carpet cleaning business. Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, you don't need a lot of money, you don't even need any money to get these things started. And so, you know, people always think, well, what do I have to do with a theme park? What do I have to do with characters? My business is different. You know, the whole story. Well, you know, Disney's got cost pressures on product. Disney's got, you know, employee, you know, pressures. Disney's, you know, they serve guests and clients just like we serve it. Different scale, but all those things come into, it's not difficult, and it doesn't have to be expensive.
No,
You don't have to have a, you know, bajillion dollar, you know, computer system to figure out how you're going to wow a guest.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's just simple things that you can do to really wow them that nobody else is doing. And that's what Disney's doing. I mean, sure, you look at them and say, wow, they have all this money. Well, they started out with a simple, you know, process, and they added to the process. And it's the same thing that everybody else can do, but they don't.
Yep. I mean, we actually implemented a fast pass in my carpet cleaning business. When at the end of every cleaning, my clients get a little coupon, and it's essentially an emergency, you know, fast pass coupon. Like if, you know, we cleaned for you 3 or 4 months ago and, you know, Johnny knocks over a glass of chocolate milk and, you know, you need help getting the spot out, or, you know, little Susie fell down and she dropped blood, you know, through the living room or something. You know, give us a call and we will get you in, you know, as soon as we can, if not the same day. I had a lady call this morning. She goes, oh my God, you know, my kid fell down. You know, we had a gusher, nose gusher. You know, sure, I got somebody in your area, you know, Billy, can be there between 12 and 2. Just have your fast pass ready and we'll get you in. So you don't have to imitate or exactly copy what Disney's doing, but find a way to, you know, emulate the process and implement it in your industry.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that people always, I think, joke about, because Disney is so good at it, is monetizing the ride. So as soon as you get off the ride experience, you're so enamored, you're so happy, you're so, you know, thrilled. You're in a gift shop now. Yep. You're like buying everything. And, you know, people would complain about that, but it's the most brilliant thing that you can do in your business. Is once that person has the thrill of knowing or experiencing your service, they're more likely to buy something else.
Exactly.
Get them booked on the next thing. Get them done. And it's just, people don't want to, I don't know if they don't want to do it. They think it's complicated, but it's not.
It's not. No, I mean, those kinds of things are, you know, are drop dead easy to do. The one that is really genius, and I try and find ways for my clients to implement this, is Disney actually gets you to pay for their infrastructure directly. Like when did you buy a brick to go in the walkway that goes from the Contemporary to the Magic Kingdom? You ever buy one of those family bricks?
No,
I think they were at the time they were like $67 or $77 for a brick, and you got your name on it, and then they put it in the sidewalk. Brilliant, because they got the guests to pay for the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Well, because they are expanding the Magic Kingdom to install the Tron thing over in Tomorrowland, they had to dig up that sidewalk. Well, you're not getting your brick back. This is genius what Disney did. Genius. They contacted everybody that had bought a brick and offered to sell them another brick that was a replica of the brick that they had bought for $29.95. So now, and their close rate was like, I talked to the lady in the merchandise, and she goes, yeah, we got about 65 to 70% of people have bought a second brick. it's a, I mean, what does a brick cost at Lowe's? I mean, a dollar, maybe, yeah. 75 cents? No. And this one doesn't even come with your name on it. This is just a Disney brick. So, you know, that's how Disney gets you to pay for, you know, installing sidewalks and buildings and things like that. But I try and get my clients to, I mean, you know, can you get a one of your top clients to sponsor a bench or, you know, a memorial chair in your waiting room or what have you. There's different ways that you can use that method to help you with your own infrastructure.
Well, you know, I was watching one of your videos and you actually talk about goofy questions. And, you know, one of the things that I always teach my clients is that you should always make a list of about 50 of the most frequently asked questions people ask and turn them into videos or blog articles or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, for Disney or for any company out there, take the 50th goofiest questions that people have ever asked. And now you have something that, you know, because people are going to type those in the search anyway.
Right.
And they type those in and they're finding you, you know? Yep. So wait, what are some of the questions that would people ask you at Disney?
You know, it always, I mean, people completely leave their entire sense of reality when they get onto a, I mean, it's just poof, gone. They think it is the safest, most secure place. And nothing bad is ever going to happen, except for the alligator. But that's a whole other story. But at Disney, I mean, crazy thing. If you go outside one of the rides and you see 100 strollers parked outside the ride, all with purses, backpacks, camera bags, all dangling off of them, and people just leave them there because they think, oh, it's Disney, it's safe. You would never leave a stroller with a camera on, you know, Madison Avenue in downtown Manhattan. It'd be gone in a hot second. But at Disney, nope. You know, they feel so safe. They've lost their sense of reality. They'll just park that sucker anywhere, you know. And it's funny, you know, the everybody wears costumes at Disney. That's what they call uniforms. And it always amazes me is, if, and we all have name tags. Sometimes we have goofy hats on, and it always amazes me. People come up, do you work here? And you know, you always have to look at the question behind the question. That's just their way of saying hi. Excuse me, do you work here? You know. And said, hi. So we take those questions when we were at Disney, we would take those questions and, you know, yeah, on the surface, that sounds really stupid, but okay, what's the question behind the question? What are they really asking? You know, what time is the 3 o'clock parade? Well, 3 o'clock. And you could be a real smart ass, you know, well, you can't be a smart ass, but you could try to be one.
I'd get fired within 5 minutes.
You know, but you'd be fired. So, you know, so what's the question behind the question? What they're really asking is, I mean, the parade is a mile long. They want to know, what time does the parade hit this spot in the street? Oh, okay. So yeah, parade probably get here about 3:20, 3:25. So that's the question behind the question. So I mean, you know, people use jargon all the time. You know, your HDL on your PDQ of the XYZ, you know, ended up with an ABC. And, you know, as a client or customer, you're looking at them like, what did I just say? And you got to remember who you're talking to. So you can't use your industry jargon when you're talking to clients. You got to, not that you have to dumb it down, but you got to use terms and phrases that, you know, a layperson would understand.
Yeah, I always tell, you know, my clients, I do have to dumb it down because, you know, most people are, you know, not in tune with, you know, my clients' terminology. And most of them are lawyers, doctors, professionals who speak a different language. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the people are not dumb. It's just they're not to that level of understanding some of those words.
So, right.
You know, but you know, how do people get a hold of you? How do they get your book? And what's the next step that they should take if they want to elevate their business to be more like Disney?
Sure. Best way to get in touch with me would be through the website. I've got a contact me box there. You can go to deliverservicenow.com. I've got a great Cliff Notes version of the book there that you can download for free. There's enough in that little special report to, I mean, get you started, get you going, a month's worth of ideas to get you going. And then also the book, you can get at Amazon. It's called Systematic Magic. Looks something. Oh, it's invisible.
It's invisible.
My invisible book. You like that? I got to hold it right in front of me. If I put it over here, that's a great trick. I love it.
That's the power of magic.
You can get that at Amazon. Also, if you send me a contact form, I will send it to you with a special bonus for half prices of what you can get it on Amazon. So I do have a Get Vance's book tab on the website. So Deliver Service Now is the best way to get that done.
And they get a hold of you on the website to yep. book your training?
Yep, training. You know, we do, I do individual coaching with companies. I only work with 6 companies a year, just because that's all the bandwidth I've got. You don't work with anybody but me. So I don't have, you know, a second in command that I send out. You know, it's me. And most of the projects that I do are, you know, between 90 and 120 days, sometimes a little bit longer, to make sure that we get, you know, the process that you're looking for implemented in your business or office or practice. I do have a home study course. So it's essentially everything I teach at the Disney Boot Camp down in Orlando, minus Mickey Mouse and minus the theme parks. So you can get everything all in that package. And again, you can find that on the website.
All the package, but without the experience.
What's that?
I said the whole package without the experience.
Oh, back. Well, I mean, it's an experience opening the box because you get some pretty nifty goodies in there. But yeah, no, you know, Mickey Mouse will not shake your hand when you open the box. Sorry.
Yeah. Or no walking through the tunnels in your package.
No.
Yeah.
Now, you're not even allowed to take pictures down there. Otherwise, I would have taken pictures of the tunnels and put them in there, but can't do that.
See, guys, this is why Vance is the Disney guy. And, you know, he's built his business on taking examples of what Walt does to increase the magic that he delivers to his clientele. And you can do the same thing. So go to his website, deliverservicenow.com. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit me at unspockmedia.com. Hey, adios.
Thank you.